and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Recently, the Malaysia Competition Commission imposed record fines amounting RM415.5 million to five feed millers for colluding in a chicken feed cartel to fix poultry feed prices. Now, at the press conference to announce the penalties, the CEO of MyCC, Iskandar Ismail, told reporters, quote, cartels are a supreme evil in competition law and a form of economic sabotage at the highest level. MyCC is tasked by the government to eradicate cartels and we will continue to do so without fear or favour, end quote. And joining me on the show today to elaborate on the work of MyCC and its priorities for 2024, we have its CEO, Iskandar Ismail. Thank you so much for being on the show with me. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you so much for having me again, Melissa.
Sure. Yeah. And I would love to kick off our conversation maybe with a snapshot for our viewers. For those who are not familiar with MyCC, what is the role of MyCC in the Malaysian economy, and how does it help shape fair market practices, especially in Malaysia, where the economic landscape is fairly oligopolistic in a number of sectors here?
You see, competition policies and laws is the missing puzzle in a free economy in Malaysia. Usually, the government is quite somehow emphasize a lot on industrial policies. Mm-hmm. Okay, the role of competition policies and laws through our Competition Act 2010 is to protect the process of competition. You know, when you have businesses in the free market or in out there, the main thing for the businesses, if they want to grow, is to compete with each other.
Right.
Yeah. So when they compete with each other, they will force themselves to be more efficient, to be more competitive, and then they will continue to innovate. So when they innovate new things, they will always try to keep the loyalty of their customers to only their product and services. So when the businesses are, are always being innovative, they continue their entrepreneurship, and then they become more efficient, and then the consumer will get three things from them. Okay, this is a sure thing, for consumers. The first thing is that we will get the competitive pricing that we want. But it's not about whether it's expensive or not, or whether it's cheap or not. But when we talk about competitive pricing, it's because of the choices that they give to us.
It's fair market value, right?
Yeah. You see, just imagine if you enter into a hypermarket, if you want to buy noodles, the favorite noodles that you always want, but suddenly you can only see one or two brands of noodles only. How do you feel as a consumer? Right. You will be frustrated, right? Because you only have two choices. But if you enter into a hypermarket, you can see more than 30 brands. So that's where the issue of quality will come in, the issue of competitive pricing, and the choices.
All right.
So you, in other words, you empower the consumer to make their own decisions.
Okay, so having a kind of fair competition in an open market will allow for competitive pricing, choice for consumers, and quality of product. Let's talk about the chicken feed cartel case, because I find that quite fascinating. Hopefully you can break it down for us, the impact of that case on the market, and how MyCC's interventions have directly resulted in tangible impact for the end consumer.
Okay, you remember 2 years ago in 2021, people were making complaints over and over again because of the increased price of chicken in the retail market. So from the complaints that we encountered, we found that it's quite baffling. Because when you go into a retail market, you know, not only 1,000 or 2,000 people are selling chicken, but there are more than hundreds of thousands people, you know, of shops or hypermarkets selling chicken at the same time in the whole Malaysia. So, at the end of 2021, we started the investigation. Because we found out that it's quite somehow interesting. It is supposed to be a very competitive market. Yeah, everybody eats chicken. Do you know how much chicken that we eat?
We're one of the highest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 48 kilos per year for one Malaysian every year. So we love chicken so much, you know, that's where all the complaints came from. Mm. So anyhow, when we investigated the matter in November 2021, we looked at the whole segment or the whole supply chain of chicken industry. It's not easy, Melissa. Mm. I mean, it's divided into three segments, the upstream, the midstream and the downstream. Okay, the downstream consisted mainly of the retail segment, retail players. And then for the upstream, it consisted of the chicken feed producers. Yeah, and then the midstream consisted of players who sells and or produce and sells a day-old chick. Okay, and then for the processing plant, and and many of them are wholesaler. That are those are the people are in the midstream segment of the chicken industry. So we had to look at the overall supply chain, and when we investigated through and through our intelligence and surveillance, we found out that there's something wrong. Went on in the upstream. You know why? One of the reasons that give us the clue is that, you know, the biggest chunk of the cost to rear a chicken, a single chicken, is the chicken feed. Yeah, so it takes around 72.8% of the cost. If let's say you spend RM1 for every chicken per day, yeah, you will spend 72 cents or 73 cents on the chicken feed alone. The next biggest chunk is the day old chick. The cost of a day old chick, it will cost around you around 21% of your total cost. So these are the two biggest chunk. But when we look further, we dig down further, and we saw that there were some activities that attracted us to focus on them.
Okay.
So at that point of time, they used the platform of Malaysian Feed Miller Association to come together and discuss about the market. So at that point of time, the prices of the two main ingredients
of corn, because of the Ukraine war.
Yeah, not just Ukraine war, but you know, because you see, if you realize, starting after the COVID-19, everything went up.
The supply chains were impacted.
Yeah, were impacted, and then somehow, the Ukraine war somehow, managed to prop up, the issues whereby it contributed to the haywire of the supply chain. Yeah, so the price of soya bean and maize, we call it, went up. It didn't go down, but if it goes down, it will go a bit down, not so much. Yeah, you know, it's like the price of shares. You know, it will go up and down, but it's going upwards. Yeah. So from there, from our investigation showed that these five players, Leong Hub, PK Agro, Goldcoin, FFM and Dinding, somehow they used the platform of the association to discuss and share about the sensitive information in relation to the cost of the main ingredients. And at the same time, they somehow communicated with each other through WhatsApp and calls to set up the increment amount. You see, let's say the price of one bag of chicken feed is 50 ring. One bag of chicken feed is 50 kilos. Okay, they will sell in 50 kilos bag. Okay, and then let's say the price is 100. Okay, and then when they wanted to raise the price, somehow they decided they raise the price at the same quantum.
Okay. This is interesting because so part of my CC's work is to investigate this to make sure that what you suspect as collusion or price fixing is actually happening.
Yes.
How did you discover that they were speaking to each other on WhatsApp and fixing prices?
We act like a police also. We carry out intelligence. We carry out surveillance. We took statements from witnesses. We carried out dawn raids.
The competition law of Malaysia, the Competition Act of Malaysia, empowers MyCC to do this.
Yes, we have that power, the similar power of a police. Yeah, but of course, for a raid to be carried out, we need the warrant from the magistrate.
I see.
So we are something like a police without pistols and batons, even handcuffs. We don't have that. But one thing for sure is that the main difference is that we investigate infringement. It's not criminal offense. It's not a criminal offense. But cartel, as you rightly said just now, is the supreme evil of competition law.
I was quoting you, actually.
In fact, I quoted someone.
Okay.
But I mean, it's being accepted all over the world. Because the thing is, cartel, how cartel works is that, you see, you have a group of traders in the same industry. Somehow, they decided not to compete with each other, and then they substitute it with something like an enrichment or a collusion, whereby they set everything, they do everything, at the same time, with the same behavior, so as to somehow victimize the consumer. You are a consumer. Mm. I am a consumer. I go and to the shop and buy rice, cooking oil, fish, chicken. Mm. Yeah, so we are affected.
Okay.
Yeah.
As I pointed to earlier, many sectors of the Malaysian economy are oligopolistic in nature. There are few big players in several sectors of the industry.
Yeah.
Does it make it difficult for MyCC then to go into a specific sector or industry to identify if anti-competitive practices are happening when you have few big players and you're not sure whether they are colluding?
I can say yes and no.
Okay. In what ways?
It depends on circumstances. Okay. Yeah, sometimes, you have to understand, Malaysia is a small economy. It's not as big as US or even Korea or Japan or Indonesia. Indonesia is big. They have, their domestic consumption somehow originated from the population of 250 million people they have. For Malaysia, there are only 32 million. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, of course, in a way, yes, I must admit that we have a few players in certain segments of the market. Yeah, but at the same time, it doesn't make business sense to have a lot of players in the same segment or in the same sector.
Okay.
You see, sometimes you can't make money, you have to understand the purpose of any businesses is to make profit as soon as possible. You see, so when they invest, they expect to make money maybe within 2 or 3 years. So if they see, there are quite a few big players, and then if they want to in, they have to pump in the same money as the current players.
So how do you establish if a player has market dominance, is abusing its dominant power? How do you establish that?
Usually we have this indicator. If a player controls at least 60% of the market,
that's quite high, 60%.
Okay, but that is only an indicator. But let's say, Melissa, we have around 50 players for a sector. Let's say we take, for example, e-hailing market. Do you know that we have more than 40 e-hailing players right now in Malaysia? But all you know is about one particular e-hailing.
We have 40 e-hailing players.
Yes, more than 40.
All right. So the one dominant player has clearly a market share of dominance.
I can say around 90% more or less. But the others, the other 39 or more than 39 players, they have, you know, because they're hyper-localized. You see? So they have around 1% or 0.5%, or they concentrate in certain cities. Maybe they became, you know, a good competitor to the dominant player. So, you know, they may somehow control, let's say, in that city, particular city, they may control 30% or 40%. Mm. You know, so they give a good fight against the, you know, the biggest player. But they only control, they only somehow manage to gain the market share in that particular city. So if we count overall, take into account everyone, okay, you know, one particular player, e-hailing player, controls more or less 90%. We call them supra-dominant player. It's as close as a monopoly. And then people sometimes got easily confused. What does it mean by cartel or monopoly?
Right, but in a situation of a supra-dominant player, how does MyCC ensure that no antitrust practices are being breached?
Okay, we carry out advocacy programs. Yeah, we talk to them, we engage them always. So basically, when you are a dominant or supra-dominant or even a monopoly, you know, somehow, whether you like it or not, you have special responsibility to the market.
Yeah. Whether extra you like it, responsibility.
Yes, because you control the sources of the goods and or services that the people needs. You see, so you can't do funny things in the market. Yeah. So look what happened to MyEG. We took action against them. Look what happened to DagangNet. We took action against them. So we are telling the, you know, the players out there, the big players out there, you better be careful, you behave yourself. You see, when you talk about competition law infringement, it's about market behavior. You see, we just only want to correct the market behavior.
Okay. Yeah. There is a way also to prevent super dominance from happening.
Yeah.
By preventing mergers.
Oh yes.
So before they become the dominant player, you prevent the mergers from happening, or you investigate or look into it, you know, with some kind of regulation.
Yeah.
That seems to be missing from the Malaysia's competition law. How do you see that gap in our competition law, the absence of merger controls, being an impediment to you ensuring that we have free market practices here?
Yeah. This is one of the challenges that we are facing. Yeah, you see, there are three pillars of competition law. The first one is prohibition against cartel. We are okay in that segment. Yeah, okay. Prohibition against the abuse of dominant players or monopolies. Mm. We are okay also. But what we don't have is the third pillar. Mm. Yeah, it's like a stool with, you know, a chair with three stools.
Yeah,
so we are balancing, you know, you are always balancing when we sit on that stool, on that chair. But you see, the first two is about post ante.
Mm.
So when it took place, then only we, you know, take action against them. You see, sometimes it will take time and then people will get angry with us because why are you, you know, you're taking too long to solve this case. And then that's another part. You know, why we took quite a bit of time to solve one case. Okay, the third one is that the third pillar, which is which you rightly mentioned, is that the merger regime is the missing piece. We are the only country. Do you know that we are the only country in Southeast Asia that does not have the merger regime?
Yeah.
In fact, 140 countries who practices competition law, only 20 countries in the world that does not have merger regime. Three of the countries are Senegal, Rwanda and Tonga. So we are in the same class as them. Yeah, and there are merger happening around us.
Yes.
Almost every month or almost every week.
Right, especially the big mergers that will affect the dynamics of a market.
Yeah.
It's been 14 years since the Competition Act was first tabled or was passed.
Yeah.
And the business environment today is so different.
Yeah, yes.
Are you working to make our legal framework more robust? Are we thinking about enhancing our legal framework in terms of our Competition Act to maybe address some of the loopholes you mentioned?
Oh, okay. Yes. We have started the exercise to amend our law since 2019.
Oh,
but because of the challenges, so the, in the exercise, okay, in the amendment plan, we are going to introduce merger control regime.
Oh, so we're looking into it?
Yes. We've been on it since 2019, but because of COVID, because of changes of government,
understood.
I mean, somehow delayed the implementation. So we are planning to table it in June session of the parliament. Hopefully, we get it approved by end of the year, and then we can start. Of course, we want to give a grace period to the players in the market.
Okay.
And then at the same time, to ourselves also, so that we can get ready. You know, implementing a merger regime is not easy, as ABC. It needs a lot of, collaboration with the industry players, with other sector regulators and whatnot.
Because you don't want to deter market business from happening, right?
You don't want
it to be a deterrent or an impediment to business.
Yeah.
Can I also ask you about the challenges that you face? So if 2024 is going to be the year of MyCC moving forward, what challenges do you face currently and what future challenges do you foresee coming up that you'd like to address either through more resources or to strengthening of the legal framework?
Okay, the first thing is that, we have three priorities actually. The first one is to amend the law so that we have the three pillars under our law, so we can become more effective and efficient in many ways. The second one is that we want to keep fighting cartels. We are looking into the sectors of food and agriculture, besides on the procurement by government, we are going to look at cartels in procurement, government procurements. In fact, we are investigating more than 500 companies that somehow...
This is bid rigging.
Involving tenders worth more than 2 billion ringgit. Right now, 2 billion is not a lot, Melissa.
It feels like a lot of public money to be spent.
Actually, the government spend more or less 100 billion per year to procure goods and services.
Okay.
Yeah, they build schools every year. They build roads, and then they do a lot of things for the people. And then the third one, we're going to carry out a market review. Or market study on digital economy. It's a borderless, economy nowadays. This is one of the challenges. New things kept coming up, especially in digital economy. And do you know that Facebook, Google, Meta, Amazon, they've been penalized by many competition agencies all around the world.
Oh, so MyCC might be looking into the tech industry.
Oh yes, digital economy, the e-commerce, the online travel agency, the payment system, the online payment system, the advertising. There's a lot of things going out there.
Okay, so in the couple minutes that we have left, I want to ask you,
How
can consumers help? What is the collaboration that MyCC envisions with other stakeholders, particularly the public?
Okay.
In hopefully achieving your goal of fair market practices?
See, that is one of the challenges that we are facing. When we are dealing with consumers, what they want to know is just results. I can understand that. I'm a consumer also. But we have to follow the law. You see, when we investigate, we don't stop there because we are a quasi-judicial body. This is one particular thing that the public needs to understand us, because after our investigation is has been completed, we do not stop there. So after that, we became judges, because we investigate, we decide whether there's an infringement or not, and we enforce our decision. So everything is under one roof. You see, if you take a police case, for example, let's say for a kidnapping case, okay, they will investigate the kidnapping case, right? And then once they complete the investigation, they will pass to the Attorney General Chambers for the Attorney General Chambers to prosecute the suspect or the accused. So the accused will be will be brought before a court, okay, or maybe like say a high court judge. And then the high court judge will decide whether that person is guilty or not.
Right.
So there are three bodies, right?
Yeah.
So for us, no. Everything is under one roof.
So you want the public to understand why cases take so long?
Yeah. Because we don't stop there. Once the they thought that once we complete our investigation, we will pass it to the Attorney General Chambers. No. We are the judge and the jury at the same time. We are the investigator at the same time. So the public must understand how we work.
Is MyCC well resourced to be able
that is another challenge also.
Play all these roles.
Yeah. So we are expanding. Yeah, we want to take more officers in. We got extra budget. Thankfully, the government somehow listened to us. They gave us extra budget, so that we can recruit more people, recruit more investigators, so that we can, somehow handle the voluminous of, of the cases and investigation and whatnot.
Well, we've come to the end of the show. I want to thank you for being on the show and sharing some of the work that MyCC does for the protection of consumers. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thanks so much for watching. Good night.